All right, thank you very much for that introduction, and thank you all so much for coming to hear my talk today. I'm going to be speaking to you about receipt of guideline-appropriate vaccinations for the influenza virus among pregnant women in the United States. So I just want to start off first by acknowledging my co-author and my mentor and advisor, Dr. Whitney Witt, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, but I know is here in spirit. And I also want to thank my funding source, which is a predoctoral HRQ training grant. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So just a little bit of background. Experts do recommend that all pregnant women in any trimester and all women who are considering becoming pregnant receive the flu shot, specifically because women in the second and the third trimester of pregnancy are at a very high risk for influenza-related hospitalizations. And there is also very strong implications for the health of both the mother and the fetus, as vaccinating women against the influenza virus has been shown to protect against hospital infections or hospitalizations in their infants for up to 6 months, and as well as reducing about one-third of respiratory illnesses in pregnant women and infants. So there's definitely some life course implications for both the mother and child. But one thing that's definitely important to note is that the flu shot, which is essentially a dead version of the virus, is what is recommended for pregnant women. However, the flu spray, which is a live attenuated version of the virus, is actually contraindicated for pregnant women because it does pose a theoretical risk to the fetus. So flu shot is definitely something that guidelines suggest that all pregnant women should get, whereas the flu spray should not be administered to women who are pregnant. So for this project, I was very much interested in looking at receipt of the influenza vaccination among pregnant women and to look to see if there were specific disparities or prohibitive factors that kept pregnant women from receiving guideline-appropriate flu vaccinations. So to achieve this study, I used a nationally representative population-based sample, the National Health Interview Survey, and I pooled the years 2005 through 2010, so six cross-sections of the NHIS, and that yielded a sample of just over 4,000 women who are currently pregnant at the time of the survey or had recently given birth within the last year of the survey. And this amounts to almost 6 million U.S. women annually. So I'm looking at receipt of the flu vaccine. The question is asked, in the past 12 months, have you received a flu shot or a flu spray? And so we're looking at a 12-month window, although the survey itself is cross-sectional. And I do want to point out, as you may have noticed, since I'm pooling data from 2005 through 2010, there was an H1N1 outbreak that occurred during that period. And as you might expect, it's very important to account for some of the temporal changes that happened in the question phrasing. So prior to October 2009, when the vaccine became available for H1N1, all of the questions were the same. Have you received a seasonal influenza vaccine? However, in October of 2009, when the 2009 survey was being administered, they introduced a preface to that question that says, please only tell us about the seasonal influenza vaccine. Do not let us know if you've received the H1N1 vaccine specifically. However, in 2010, in the first and second quarters and a small portion of the third quarter, they did ask specifically, have you received a seasonal flu shot? And have you received an H1N1 vaccine? So for the purposes of this study, I pooled both of those together because I figured that some women may be substituting the seasonal flu shot with an H1N1 vaccine given the high prevalence and the outbreak that had recently occurred. So some of the factors that I was interested in looking at included, I've kind of organized them here based on the Adey and Anderson model of health services use. I think there are some very important distinctions that should be made into the type of factors that we might expect to influence receipt of care, including some predisposing factors, very basic covariates, age, race, and ethnicity, marital status, education, and then some needed and enabling factors, which I think are particularly interesting and where we have the most opportunity for some modification in terms of the risks that these factors may pose. And that includes specifically chronic condition status. As I'm sure many of you know, people who have a chronic condition are highly recommended to receive the flu vaccine in addition. So these women might have a higher rate of receipt of the vaccine. Then pregnancy status, so whether they are currently pregnant or, again, have been recently pregnant. And then health insurance, family income, and then whether or not the woman had a usual source of care. So I started just by doing some basic descriptive analyses, some ANOVA and chi-squared, to test differences in the prevalence of the receipt of the vaccine. And then I moved into some multivariable logistic regression to look at collectively what is the independent effect controlling for all the covariates that I previously mentioned. And because I'm pooling data from women who are both currently pregnant and recently gave birth, there is a slight issue of the temporal spacing of the flu shot relative to the pregnancy period. And I definitely wanted to try and isolate women who had received a flu shot during the time in which they were pregnant. And so unfortunately, we don't have information on the date of conception, so I tried to kind of get around the fact that these women, I might not know if a flu shot truly overlapped with their pregnancy, so I tried to eliminate some women where I thought that their timing might be inappropriate based on the information that I had, and then reran the analysis with a subset of the sample to see if the results were consistent. So I think the first thing that I want to point out that's very striking is if you look at the bottom table here, you can see the drastic change in the prevalence of receipt of the flu shot and spray during the years. Well, over time in general, we see a very large increase, but specifically from the years 2009 to 2010. We move from mid-20% of pregnant women to almost 50% of pregnant women, which, as you can imagine, is in large part due to the H1N1 outbreak. But also, I still think, is pretty important because it's encouraging women to receive a service that is definitely needed and important for the health of both them and their child. But what I also think is striking is we see this important uptick in the receipt of the flu spray accompanying the flu shot, and that is an inappropriate service that we don't want to see pregnant women receiving because of the theoretical risk to the fetus. And you can see in 2005 through 2008, it's quite low, which is good, but then jumps up quite significantly when you consider our starting point to over 3% in 2010. So that's definitely something that we want to be concerned about and making sure that in the height of the outbreak, when people are definitely panicking, that they're receiving still the appropriate services and not inappropriate services. So just briefly, I want to talk a little bit about the descriptive results. So women who received a flu shot were more likely to be all of the following, and I think many of these are very logical. The typical more higher SES, people who have better access, including privately insured, they have a usual source of care, those with a chronic condition. And then on the right-hand side, we see some of the characteristics of those women who are more likely to receive the flu spray. And I think one of the interesting factors was Asian Pacific Islander women are more likely to receive the flu spray, and that was actually a pretty striking disparity that we saw between Asian Pacific Islanders and women of other races and ethnicities. So here are the multivariable results. I've also presented on the left in the blue column the unadjusted results so you can kind of see what happens in the unadjusted or bivariate comparisons and then what happens in the adjusted or the yellow column when we account for all the other factors that I've just mentioned. So the first thing I want to draw your attention to is the racial and ethnic disparities. So unadjusted, we definitely see some very striking disparities for Black, non-Hispanic women and Hispanic women being significantly less likely to receive the flu shot. And I also want to point out that the flu spray numbers were generally very low overall, and so my multivariable analysis is just focusing on the receipt of the flu shot. However, in the adjusted analyses, we see that the effect of being Hispanic is significantly attenuated, although the effect of being Black, non-Hispanic still puts you at a significantly decreased risk of, or decreased likelihood of receiving the flu shot. So we also do see a very striking education gradient, such that women who have more education are substantially more likely to have received the flu shot, and I don't think that's entirely unexpected. Although we do see this little blip for women with less than a high school degree being slightly more likely than women who do have a high school degree. I think that's somewhat anomalous, but maybe it's more of a reflection that women with lower education might have other support services available to them, such as public insurance, WIC, other sources of information that tell them that this is what you need to do to have a healthy pregnancy. And then also, as we might expect, controlling for period effects with the H1N1, people who were surveyed after the vaccine was released were significantly more likely to have received a shot. So moving on to some of the need and enabling factors. Women who were recently pregnant rather than currently pregnant were more likely to have reported receiving a shot. I think that part of that might be due to the amount of time at which we've captured their pregnancy. Women can report being currently pregnant. However, unfortunately, the NHIS does not ask, you know, how far along in your pregnancy are you? So we don't know if they're have just found out that they're pregnant or if they're, you know, really about ready to deliver. And so I think that that's going to have huge implications for whether or not they're going to have received some of the services that are recommended during the pregnancy period. Also, as expected, women with chronic conditions are much more likely to receive the flu shot, which is a very good sign. And women who report having a usual source of care, and I also want to point out that I'm specifically focusing on women who have an appropriate usual source of care. So women can say, yes, I have one provider that I see most often, however, that provider is an emergency room, and for the purposes of this analysis, I consider them to actually not have a usual source of care because that is really an inappropriate case, a place to be seeking preventive care. But women who do have a consistent point of access are more likely to receive the flu shot. Interestingly, we see clear disparities in women who have any lapse in insurance coverage. And we might expect that not very many pregnant women are not going to have insurance coverage because there are many state, local, federal programs designed to provide insurance coverage to women who are pregnant. But there are still some women who lack insurance coverage, and this partial or intermittent group means that they have had any lapse in insurance coverage during the past year, whether or not that's only a month to 11 months out of the past 12. There's any lapse in coverage, but they are substantially less likely to have received the flu shot. And interestingly, in the unadjusted analysis, it seems that public insurance is less protective than private insurance. However, once we adjust for all of the other factors, and I would imagine there's a lot of collinearity there with some of the other low SES factors, we see that public insurance seems to be doing slightly lower if you look at the magnitude, but not necessarily a significantly worse job compared to private insurance. So I think that that's definitely very important and does support the continued use of these support services for pregnant women and providing them insurance coverage. And then finally, we do see some interesting socioeconomic disparities. As you can imagine, women at lower ends of the socioeconomic spectrum may be less likely to receive preventive services. I think what to me is very, very interesting is this middle income group, people who are living between 200 and 399% of the federal poverty level. Most of these women have incomes that are too high to qualify for really any federal, state, or local support programs, but clearly they don't really have maybe enough income to substantially protect them against financial risk that they could incur. And they are definitely at risk for not receiving the flu shot. So it's definitely a very important and vulnerable group. I think there's also lots of implications there when you think about things like Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act and ensuring insurance coverage to people who need it will be particularly important for this group. So I just briefly want to talk to you about my sensitivity analyses. There was 21 women who said that they did receive a vaccine in the past 12 months, but they did not list a specific date for that vaccine. And so since I couldn't establish when they received it, I eliminated them from the sample, as well as 286 women who did say that their most recent vaccine was administered after they had given birth. And I did have a date of birth for the women who are recently pregnant because I found the youngest child from the household roster, and I used their birth date to kind of back my way into establishing a pregnancy period. Now, I do want to point out that the vaccines question only asks you to report the date of your most recent vaccine. So just because their most recent vaccine was after their pregnancy doesn't mean that they didn't actually receive a vaccine during their pregnancy, but unfortunately, I just don't know if that's the case, and so I did remove them for the sensitivity analyses. And I was fortunate enough to be able to retain about 92% of the sample for this analysis, which is pretty good, and as you would expect, the results do not change substantially. So again, although I cannot firmly establish the temporal sequence of the shot and the pregnancy, I feel fairly confident that the results are picking up on what we might expect to see if we could have that temporal spacing. I do want to point out some of the limitations of this study. Again, there's this is cross-sectional data, and there's inherent limitations with any cross-sectional study, and I think the most important one in this case is the fact that we can't establish a date of conception and really firmly outline when that pregnancy period is. And knowing that would be truly important for figuring out not only if women are receiving the shot in their pregnancy, but when in their pregnancy are they receiving the shot. And I think that has important implications for physicians to understand when's the best time to contact women to encourage them to receive the shot. And then also, receipt of the vaccine was, of course, self-reported and obviously can be prone to reporting bias. But I think the NHIS does a really fantastic job. They've been doing this for quite a while, so they know what they're doing, and I think they have very high response rates, and I'm pretty confident that these results are going to be an accurate reflection of the true receipt of the flu vaccine. So just to summarize some of the conclusions and implications, despite recommendations that every pregnant woman or woman who is considering becoming pregnant should receive a flu shot levels were generally low across the study's period, and it averaged around 30% across the time frame. And obviously, we would like to see that much, much higher because it does have such important implications for both mother and child. And then also, I know I only briefly mentioned this when I was speaking about the descriptive part of this analysis. Women are receiving the flu spray, which is, again, contraindicated for pregnant women. And so it's definitely something that providers and practitioners will want to keep an eye out for and make sure that they're not potentially putting the woman or her child at risk. And I think that the clear disparities, specifically those among Black non-Hispanic women, women in low SES, both defined by income and education, are clearly at a lower risk or are less likely to have received the flu shot. And so we definitely want to target these priority populations to ensure that they're receiving the preventive care that they do need. Thank you very much.